Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, friends, and we welcome you into the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
Good morning, Amanda. Good morning, Cam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes. This morning, friends, we're going to be talking about divine mercy. First up, our friend Tim McAndrew, the founder of Lady of Mercy, the website feastofmercy.net. And then near the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Mercedarian Fathers Michael Donovan and Daniel Bowen, both serving at Holy Family Church here in Columbus. Shall we start with prayer?
Yes, we should. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Oh, you met me. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another day. And we thank you for your death and your resurrection, for calling us to new life. And Lord, we thank you for all the little resurrections in our lives as well, that you're always calling us to repentance and newness. Lord, we ask to just fully partake of that, to just dive into your goodness, to accept your mercy, to accept your forgiveness, and to live in freedom. Lord, we ask those places in our hearts that don't feel free, that don't fully live in the truth of your goodness and your love, that you would come and break down walls, that you would let your mercy flood through, that we would come to know you as a good, good, loving, merciful Father. We thank you and praise you for this and for the work that you are doing in our lives and in the lives of those that we love, and we lift them all up in prayer, knowing of your goodness and your desire to answer our prayers that are in line with your will. So we pray all this through the intercession of Mary, and in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, Amanda. Dive into your goodness. I love that phrase. I'll start with a confession this morning.
Okay. That's exciting.
My first thoughts this morning were around, man, did the weathermen get it wrong?
Yeah, what the heck?
Or you know, boy, did we dodge a bullet there? Because, you know, looking at radar all last night. So it's, but those were my first thoughts. And then I'm like, no, Father, thank you. You know, thank you for your protection. You know, thank you for caring for us. Thank you for this morning. My gosh, it's thanking him wasn't even the top three or four thoughts I had this morning.
Yeah, it takes time to cultivate, huh?
It does. Yeah. It does. And he even gave us a beautiful rainbow last night. I saw it. Did you see it? Actually see it? It was downtown, so I didn't.
It was the clearest, brightest rainbow I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And what a sign of God's love, right?
Amen.
So, whether...
I think especially in the midst of maybe a storm or expecting a storm, and then God just shines through and he's like, let me just show you my goodness.
Absolutely. So grateful, grateful heart this morning. So thank you, Lord, for protecting us. And for those that did suffer more than we did in Westerville, you know, still a lot of flooding, and some areas did have much stronger storms. So our prayers for all of you this morning. So how was your evening?
Oh, it's quite lovely. We had thought that, well, because there's going to be such a big storm coming through, let's just hunker down and watch a couple episodes of The Chosen. And then we got four in. And yeah, the time just went, okay. We had planned to watch three episodes. And then the third one ended so sadly that I was like, we can't end this way. So then we started a fourth, which was a big commitment, but mm-hmm. it was a lot of fun to be together. And
nice.
Of course, The Chosen. Come on. Such a blessing.
Yeah.
To just be able to reflect on what our Lord has done and be able to maybe see it in a creative way and to relate to what we hear in the scriptures differently. And yeah, so it was a great evening.
Very nice. Yeah, we were able to FaceTime with Ellie, our marauder at University of Mary. She opened up her Easter care package, so we were able to spend some time. So that was beautiful.
Fun.
How about you, Cam?
I spent the evening chasing my daughter around. I didn't share that on the show yesterday. So
you haven't, yeah.
This past weekend was Easter. Hallelujah. He is risen. This past weekend, my daughter also broke her leg. And so... just a minor fracture and should heal very quickly, no complications or anything like that. But she's decided that the cast is not going to hold her back energy-wise.
All nice. Right, Olive.
So she does that like weird, funny crawling thing where she has her hands in her one leg and then she just kind of drags the cast behind her. And she's quick. And she's very quick. And so I spent the evening kind of chasing her around and she thought that was hilarious. So, we're making the most of the situation and, we have a follow-up appointment this coming week and
on her birthday, right? She celebrates
her birthday
one.
Is the day of the eclipse, which this year is also the Annunciation. And so, lots of big things on that day. And last year she was born on the Easter Vigil and she was baptized on Pentecost. And so really at this point, I'm just like expecting really big things from her.
Outstanding. Well, today is Wednesday, April 3rd, in the octave of Easter. And our gospel this morning or today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. The road to Emmaus.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And they stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" And they said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since he took place. Some women from our group, however, they have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Amen.
There's so much there.
This is one of
where to start, huh?
This is one of my favorite gospel passages. Ooh. I have a very fond memory that the Lord often brings me back to a retreat that I did when I was probably like a sophomore or junior in high school. And really the whole focus of the retreat was encountering Jesus in the Eucharist and doing that in community. So with the people around you, really fellowshipping with them. And I just remember there was one small group, which we ended pretty early. And my small group leader was like, okay, gentlemen, what we're going to do is we're going to pair off and just like spend some intentional time together one-on-one with another brother. And Matthew Turek, all of our listeners would know his father, Dr. Turek. Matthew Turek was in my small group and he turns to me and he goes, Cam, dude, do you want to take an Emmaus walk? And I said, What is that? Yeah. And that's what I want. And so we got up and just started walking and let the Lord, that exact thing that those disciples say, we're not our hearts burning within us. Okay, so we started the walk with a prayer saying, Lord, let our hearts burn within us. Hmm. We want that experience as we walk and we talk and we converse about the Lord and how the retreat was going. And then just like overall, what's God doing in our lives and what has he been doing and reflecting and testifying to one another in that way too. It was just like a really, really beautiful moment and one of my favorite moments on a retreat that I ever took. And the Lord often takes me back there when I read this passage, I think, because he desires always that kind of intentionality with me too. I'm always struck by how I need to be taking more Emmaus walks with the Lord and let him, reveal himself to me, just like he revealed himself in the scriptures to our two disciples in the story today.
That's so good.
That's what I got.
I wish someone would ask me, let's go on an Emmaus walk. I love that. Well, I think I'm struck by, one, just of course them being downcast and even them saying that they reference Jesus as just a prophet with mighty deeds.
Hmm.
And I don't know. Of course, that makes me kind of sad because there seems to be doubt in there for sure. This, despite all that they have seen, despite all that they have heard from our Lord and him even saying, you know, the Son of Man must die and will rise. And yet there is a downcastness, not even calling him Messiah, you know, just a prophet. And there's doubt even though there's been some revelation so far that he has been risen. You know, the women saw and the men went and looked and there it was. And so just kind of asking myself, in what ways do we allow ourselves to be downcast or not fully recognize the true power of God in our lives? Right.
Right.
And to not just hope what he will do, but to truly believe what he will do. To have confidence in a God who saves and heals and redeems, and and then also being struck by that last sentence there, he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread, and this just reminds me of our conversation yesterday with Liz Christie and Eucharistic revival, and you know if we truly want to encounter our Lord, that is the best place to start, right? With him in his Eucharistic presence and adoration in the breaking of the bread and the Mass, where he is truly made present to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity.
Very nice. Yeah. The you're right. I mean, there's so much here. The phrase that really stood out to me this morning is, with that, their eyes were opened.
Mm.
And they recognized him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my prayer today is just, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see you. In faith, I know that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I see your presence, I know that you're here, but let me see you in the people that I encounter today. Let me recognize you as I read your word this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just show yourself to me.
Yeah.
And going back to yesterday's conversation also with Liz, that, you know, have the living word of God in one hand and the catechism of the Catholic Church in the other.
Mm.
And read the catechism, you'll have scripture references. You know, you read scripture and then refer to the catechism. They go so well together.
Mm-hmm.
And God is revealed. You know, Christ is revealed in both. And just, yeah, Lord, open my eyes and let me see you today.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Our buddy, Tim McAndrews, on the phone with us. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm blessed. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Hallelujah again, huh?
Yeah, he is risen.
Yeah, it's Easter octave. Hallelujah.
Tim McAndrew, the founder of Laity for Mercy. Our website is feastofmercy.net. Tim, you more, and Jenny as well, more than anyone else, I think in our diocese have cultivated this devotion to divine mercy, and you've been such a gift to me personally that in helping me to unwrap the diary and just highlight passages in Faustina's diary for me. So thank you for that. And
oh, you're welcome.
When did you start the Laity for Mercy?
1999.
Okay.
How long it's been. I did it right before he became a saint in 2000. So I've been doing a lot of years.
Yeah. And you've brought this devotion into so many parishes here in the diocese. In our time this morning, I ask you, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but I'll do it. What do we need to be reminded about after so many years? Make it new for us.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and let the Lord make it new. Hmm. I'm going to read to you from the diary of St. Faustina. Let's let his words do the words.
Amen.
Instead of mine. This is from insert 699. So if you have a diary, go to insert 699. It's the big one. And I'm going to read it here. So my daughter, this is Jesus speaking. My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that there be a feast of mercy and a refuge and shelter for souls, especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon the souls who approach the fount of mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sin and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are open. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it to all eternity. Everything that exists has come forth from the depths of my tender mercy. Every soul in relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout all eternity. The feast of mercy emerged from the depths of my tender mercy. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. That's the diary 699. I guess what I want to bring up here is where he says shelter, it will be a shelter and refuge for sinners. Now, a shelter, of course, is our homes, you know, place of where we feel comfortable, we eat our food, keeps us out of all the nature, the weather. And then a refuge is usually a place when we're under turmoil, and we got to get away. We got to hide. Where do we go? You know, Satan's coming at us. The world's coming at us. Our flesh is coming at us, all three of them. So we keep falling into sin. So Jesus has given us a refuge, and that is Mercy Sunday. What he's doing on Mercy Sunday, he's wiping out all sin and punishment is what he's doing. Most people get confused because they hear about the plenary indulgence, which is huge. Don't get me wrong. Plenary indulgence is very huge, but it only wipes out temporal punishment and doesn't wipe out sin and punishment, what Jesus is talking about. Mm. What Jesus is offering is grace is similar to a baptismal grace. He's wiping out all sin and punishment. Sin known and unknown to us, just like baptism. And so basically what we need to do in preparation when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion is go to confession, have a beautiful confession, confess all your sins, trust in Jesus, and then on Mercy Sunday when you receive Jesus in Holy Communion, he's going to wipe out all sin and punishment. No purgatory time. So basically, just like baptism, you receive this sanctifying grace, which is where you're just completely pure and holy, and you're ready to enter heaven. I hope that helps explain.
Yeah,
Tim. I'm letting the Lord explain this to you guys here. I want to explain this, too. I get calls from people, and I think they get confused. They think this is like a devotional day, and the devotions are great. Don't get me wrong. So when I say this, I want people saying, oh, we shouldn't do the chaplet. We shouldn't do this. It's really about mercy is what it's about. It's about receiving our Lord in Holy Communion in the state of grace, and he's going to wipe everything out. That's what it's about. I get people call me up, and they'll go, you know, our priest didn't do the chaplet, or we didn't do the novena, so it didn't work. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Didn't work. Did you go to confession? Well, yes. Did you receive communion? Yes. You're okay then. That's what he wants. Mm. I said, those are just extra gifts on Mercy Sunday. You got to remember, he says, all the divine floodgates are open on this one day.
I love that image. Divine floodgates. Yeah.
Yeah. So I say, don't you want to be at the church all day long if someone's having a celebration and receiving these graces? He's saying all the divine floodgates, all of them. That's huge. So on that day, I'm like a beggar. I'm begging for everything. You know, Lord, do this for me. Do that for me. I'm begging. I said, if nobody wants these graces, please give them to me. I'll take them all. I want them all. So it's a day really to receive these graces, too, that he wants to offer to us. They're so awesome. So to me, it's like I don't want to run back home and say, hey, college basketball's on. I got to watch the game now. It's like I'm going to stay at the church as long as they're open, and I'm going to be in front of our Lord, in front of his image and saying, you know, give me all these graces. And two, once you receive communion, when you go back to your pew, you want to tell the Lord, Lord, you made this promise to St. Faustina that you would do this. Please give me this grace you're talking about and wipe me clean. I want to start new. I want to be pure again. And that's what he does. And he'll say, you got it, because I said it, didn't I? You got it. I promised it.
That
help there?
Yeah, of course. That's huge. And I just want to emphasize that because you're right. It says any soul who goes to this first Sunday after Easter, this Divine Mercy Feast, and goes to confession, receives Holy Communion, like you described it as a baptismal grace, this complete washing, this complete remission of our sins and our punishment. And that's just huge. It's like a total clean slate.
Oh, it is. It is so beautiful.
And
go ahead.
And just to emphasize also in what you had said while reading 699, I think it's so important because there can be a fear, especially after not having gone to confession for so long. In 699, it stated, even though your sins be as scarlet, even though your sins be as scarlet. And then Jesus goes on to say, that meditating on my mercy, you won't even be able to reach its depths for all eternity. And so he's emphasizing
right. His mercy so...
Right. So we have nothing to be afraid of.
We don't. I think people, I mean, I say this to people and they're like, oh, no. And I say, you know, Jesus loved Hitler. If Hitler would have confessed his sins, He might have been in purgatory over a long time, but I said, he would have went to heaven. You know, that's God. That's his child. We're all his children. We forget that. If my child, you know, murders someone and everything else, I'm going to love him, and I'm going to reach out as hard as I can to that child to bring him back to me. You know, and that's the Father. He loves us so much. Right. There's no sin that's not forgivable except the one. There's only one, and that's you not wanting to repent. That's mm-hmm. what'll send you to hell if you don't want to repent. But beyond that, whatever you do, his mercy is phenomenal.
Right. And we have that opportunity this coming Sunday, so.
Yeah, where will you be celebrating, Tim?
I'll be at Holy Family is where I'll be. They start at 12:30. They have confessions between 12:30 and 2:30. And then Father Michael has veneration of the image, and he'll have the blessing of the image, and then the chaplet of mercy. Of course, our Lord will be on the altar at 12:30, exposed as well. So they have a beautiful celebration there. His blessing of the image is so, so powerful. You got to watch him do it. It's very wonderful to watch. I want to read this to you real quick. I know we probably don't have a lot of time, but this is what he talks about confession. So this is Jesus. He says, "Be not afraid of your Savior, O sinful soul. I make the first move to come to you, for I know that by yourself you are unable to lift yourself to me, child. Do not run away from the Father, from your Father. Be willing to talk openly with your God of mercy, who wants to speak words of pardon and lavish his graces on you. How dear your soul is to me. I have inscribed your name upon my hands. You are engraved as a deep wound in my heart."
That's beautiful.
That's so powerful. And this, I want to read this one more thing here. I know I probably don't have a lot of time here. So he says, "Come with faith to the feet of my representative. I myself am waiting there for you. I am only hidden by the priest. I myself act in your soul. Make your confession before me. The person of the priest is for me, he is only a screen. Never analyze what sort of priest it is that I am making use of. Open your souls and confessions as you would to me, and I will fill it with my light." And that's from Diary 1725. So when you're at confession, whoever's listening out there, remember this, it's really Jesus that's absolving you. He's working through the priest. So don't analyze the priest or what he says. Just be obedient to what he says. Jesus would work with whatever he says.
Such a good reminder.
Tim McAndrew, founder of Laity for Mercy. Learn more about the apostolate at feastofmercy.net. Tim, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Dave.
God bless you, brother. Hope to see you soon.
You too. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Tim McAndrew, thanks for being with us. Coming up next, see if Father Michael, I told you that Tim was going to be your opening act. So we're going to be joined by Father Michael Donovan and Father Daniel Bowen, Mercedarian priests serving at Holy Family. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
O good Jesus, you are the Most High God, everlasting and always living. You have shown us the way to the Father, and sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. We implore thy most sacred heart to have mercy on us in this time of need. Bless and protect the vulnerable. Give hope to all and fill our hearts with confidence in your divine mercy. Be our joy in the midst of suffering and our stability in the midst of uncertainty. Your forgiveness we seek, your love we need, your protection we implore. Forgive our sins and heal our wounds. Strengthen any weakness of faith, and make us strong so as to give witness to your glory. Keep far from us any illness, pestilence, or harm. You are our refuge. You are our comfort. You are our hope. Through the intercession of Our Lady, health of the sick, we come to your most sacred heart and beseech your protection and blessing. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Amen.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of foresight is seen in St. John Bosco. He lived foresight heroically by seeing the needs of young people who were falling into sin. He dedicated himself to guiding them away from evil and into new ways of life. He rejected the use of harsh punishment in disciplining youth because he saw that this was not effective. But instead, he directed young people with love and trust, winning many of them over to Christ. Let us ask St. John Bosco to pray for us, that we may grow in foresight. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Perseverance is a virtue that helps us to accomplish something despite difficulties. For example, when we begin a new exercise program, perseverance is vital to learning and committing to a new healthy habit. Perseverance applies to all areas of our lives, including our prayer lives. When we persevere in prayer, even when we don't feel anything or when we feel that God is distant from us, perseverance helps us to remain faithfully trusting in God and in His never-ending love for us. May we gain strength from the words of St. Thomas Aquinas in his beautiful prayer for perseverance. Grant me, O Lord, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, faithful perseverance in waiting for you, and a hope of finally embracing you. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborne, and joining us now in the cafe, Father Michael Donovan and Father Daniel Bowen, Mercedarian priest serving here at Holy Family. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And blessed Easter to you.
Happy Easter. He is risen.
Amen. He's truly risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, the actual, I said the Mercedarians, the actual name of the order is the Order of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Mercy.
For the redemption of Christian captives.
Oh my gosh, how do you fit that on a business card?
It's a little difficult.
Thanks so much for being here. Father Michael, it's your first time here in the cafe.
Yes.
So, want to hear some of your journey and
how
the Lord brought you here.
What a journey it has been. Well, I guess I should begin by saying that I'm a convert to the Catholic faith, and my journey is kind of interesting. I grew up in a Presbyterian household.
Okay.
My mom was Presbyterian, and my dad was a non-practicing Catholic. So I'm the youngest of seven, and we were all brought into the Presbyterian faith. But I had a handful of friends that were Catholic, and I can remember they said, "Mike, why don't you come to Mass with me?" So I was like 11, maybe 11 or 12. So I remember my first experience of Mass, and being in that church, I started to compare what I was experiencing in that church to what I had experienced in the Presbyterian church. And I just felt the presence of God in a unique way. Mm. And I couldn't explain why. But then when they told me, you know, Jesus is in that gold box up there, I said, "What?" I said, you really believe that Jesus is in that gold box?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, if that's true, I want to take part in that." So I went home, and even though I was about 11 or 12, I got my hands on a catechism, and I started to read it. And then I remember this experience where at the end of my street, there was a wonderful, huge Catholic family. And from time to time, the mom would put an image of the Sacred Heart in her window. And I remember the first time I saw that image, I was walking by, and it got my attention. And I found myself walking to the end of that street just to see that image.
I
it captivated
love it.
Me.
Mm.
So I would stand on the sidewalk hoping that nobody was seeing me, and I would just look at that image. And that was the pivotal moment, I think, where the Lord was saying, you know, come to me in my church.
Yeah.
So my
your eyes were opened and you recognized him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So my mom called up the local Catholic priest. She probably never spoke with a priest in her life. And she said, you know, I got this kid and I don't know what to do with him. He says he wants to become Catholic. Aww. So this
how loving
priest,
of your mother.
Yeah. You know, God bless her. So the priest said, well, let me talk to him. He took an interest in me because he also wanted to convert at a very young age. But he grew up in the South where they said, no, you can't convert until you become of age. So he heard my story, and with my mom and dad's permission, he brought me into the faith. And then from there, I was just surrounded by wonderful Catholic adults who took me under their wing. And from there, it seemed like the vocation flourished to religious life.
Where did you grow up, Father?
Right outside of Philadelphia.
Okay.
So you can probably hear the accent. Which I've tried to get rid of and I can't.
Don't get rid of it. No. Father Michael Donovan and Father Daniel Bowen here in the cafe with us. Priests of the Mercedarian Order. Finish it for me.
The Order of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Mercy for the Redemption of Christian Captives.
Amen. At Holy Family Parish. Let's talk, Father, about Our Lady under the title of Mercy, Our Lady of Mercy. Mm.
I think after the title of Mary, Mother of God, Our Lady's title of Mercy is the most beautiful of all, you know, because from our perspective, the attribute in God that is most important for us is his mercy, you know, and so his mercy comes to us through the beauty of the mystery of the incarnation, and Mary is just an important part of that mystery of the incarnation. She is the queen of mercy, you know, and through her hands, all the graces that Jesus Christ has merited for us through his passion, death, and resurrection, they come flowing to us through her intercession as Queen of Mercy, as Mother of Mercy.
And Father, just as a little bit of background, the charism, I mean, as stated in the name, the redemption of Christians in captive, help me out with that.
Sure. So when we were founded back in the year 1218 in Barcelona, Spain.
So it's a new order then?
Right,
1218.
Right. So, yeah, we're 800 years old. So back in that time, 1218 Spain, what was taking place is there were a group of people who were taking Catholics back to their homeland and holding them as captives, okay? And while they were in captivity, there was always the danger of them apostatizing, of turning their back on the Catholic faith. So there was a man in Barcelona by the name of Peter Nolasco, known as St. Peter Nolasco, and his heart was moved to compassion for the plight of these Catholics who were being held in captivity in danger of losing their faith. So tradition tells us that in August of 1218, Our Lady appeared to him and said that it was heaven's desire that a new religious family be founded in the church, specifically to help these Christians who were being held in captivity. So we would go, and if necessary, we would exchange ourselves. We would go into captivity so that these Christians could be let free and return home. So that's the reason why in our title we have for the redemption of Christian captives. Mm. So today that charism still flourishes in us, where we try to find ourselves in places where Catholics are in danger of losing their faith. And there's so many things in today's culture that could cause our Christian people to lose their faith. You know, so that's where we try to to try to find ourselves.
Father Michael Donovan, Father Daniel Bowen, Mercedarian priest serving here at Holy Family Parish. Yeah, so, I mean, how does the charism today look, especially in Columbus? How are you serving the community here?
So one of our friars is actively involved in prison work. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, to be a Catholic in prison is very difficult because you're surrounded by those who are not of the Catholic faith. And oftentimes our Catholic men and women in prison are often invited to come and explore other expressions of Christianity. So they are in danger of losing their faith, specifically in prison. And we do try to be there with them.
Mm-hmm.
To keep them strong in their Catholicism.
When Tim was speaking to us before about the Feast of Mercy, mm-hmm. the anecdote to sin, to all the distractions and dangers that we face, the anecdote to that is the Catholic Church mm-hmm. and the graces of the sacraments. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful timing for this show today, leading into the Feast of Mercy and what you all will be doing at Holy Family on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. And I think it's important for us to remember, you know, the words of our Lord to Faustina. He certainly made it clear that his mercy is unfathomable. We can't fathom his mercy, that there is no sin too great for his mercy. But he also said, for us to receive his mercy, we have to practice mercy, that we have to practice mercy towards one another. And you know that word mercy, when we think of the word mercy, we often think of, well, God forgiving us, or us extending forgiveness to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy is that, but it is so much more. If you think about it, mercy is allowing ourselves to be moved to compassion by the influence of the Holy Spirit, to be moved to compassion toward the suffering that we see in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we want to receive the Lord's unfathomable mercy, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to move our hearts in compassion toward the suffering we see in others. So that's a big part of the divine mercy.
And it's so lacking
yeah.
today, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's holding us back?
I think fear.
Yeah.
Fear. Mm-hmm. I think fear keeps us back. We're afraid to extend ourselves.
Fear of rejection, fear of our own shortcomings.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all of that.
All of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Father Michael Donovan, Father Daniel Bowen from Holy Family Parish here in Columbus. Let's talk about, Father, as you were going through your vocation story, When did Mary make her Immaculate Heart known to you?
I would say precisely in 10th grade. In 10th grade, I had an opportunity to...
That wasn't a gotcha question at all. You knew exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I was involved in a group called the Blue Army in high school, you know, and they promoted the messages of Our Lady of Fatima. And so I was invited to go on a youth pilgrimage to Our Lady of Fatima. I think it was in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I remember at the Cova de Oria, that was the area where Our Lady appeared. At that time, there was, you could write out a prayer petition and drop it in a pillar that would go straight down into the earth, right at the area where Our Lady appeared, over the home oak tree.
Wow.
And I think I wrote something on that prayer petition. Oh, Our Lady, if I have a vocation, please in some way make it known to me, right? And I totally forgot about that. So when I was ordained, on May 13th, the year 2000. And I didn't realize until after that, that May 13th is the feast of Our Lady of Fatima.
Wow. So, you might have forgot, but she did not.
She did not. Yeah. Yeah. She's amazing. She really is. So, yeah. She truly became a mother to me at the very onset of my conversion into the faith. I remember one day, just newly being brought into the church, I had a rosary in my hand, and I was sitting in our parish church all alone. And I had the rosary in my hand. I didn't know how to say it. You know, I wanted to know how to say it. I was sitting there for a while. I got up to leave. I'm going out the front door. There's this lady coming in. And she looked down at my hand and she said, now I'm only like 12 years old. She said, are you saying the rosary? I said, I wish I knew how. She said, come back into the church. She took the time to teach me how to say the rosary. And we remained friends just up until a couple years ago. I can remember her name, Josephine Gasparo. She taught me how to say the rosary.
Oh.
So it's amazing how God works.
And I'm assuming that relationship with Mother Mary has just blossomed over the years.
It has.
Yeah.
It has. Yeah. I can't imagine my life without her maternal assistance, her presence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in her title of mercy, because typically, you know, we think about the Merciful Father or Christ's divine mercy pouring forth. And but how can we talk about Mary as the Merciful Mother?
Sure. Well, I think nobody knows, like Mary, how costly the price of our salvation was. So she stood there at the foot of the cross, and she saw the precious blood of her Son being poured out for our souls. So she knows how valuable we are. And she doesn't want that precious blood of her Son being shed for naught. Mm-hmm. And so she's very active. She's very active in bringing us toward her Son, because she doesn't want that precious blood to be wasted. She knows our dignity. That's why she's the Mother of Mercy, the Queen of Mercy.
Mm. I think you described mercy as not just forgiveness, but when we are moved to compassion for another's suffering.
Yes.
And so, of course, that's, I mean, that to me does scream Mary.
Yes. She's moved to compassion on our behalf as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, constantly, constantly. Her Immaculate Heart is moved on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's also a devotion to the Sacred Heart.
Mm.
And can you draw some links? There's a very strong Sacred Heart devotion here in Columbus.
Yes.
With the enthronements.
Mm-hmm.
Can you draw the connection then to between the Sacred Heart and the Divine Mercy?
Sure. So the devotion to the Sacred Heart really is drawing us into the mercy of our Lord Jesus. When we look at the image of the Sacred Heart, we see on the image of the Sacred Heart the instruments of the Passion through which God's mercy flows upon us. We see the crowning of thorns on his heart. We see his heart surmounted by the cross. And we see that wound in his side from which blood and water poured forth. If you think about it, the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the font of the church itself.
Mm-hmm.
We're born from the heart of Jesus Christ, from his merciful heart. So I guess you could say that, you know, the devotion to the Sacred Heart and the devotion to the Divine Mercy, they are sister devotions. They really are. Because it is from the Sacred Heart of Jesus that the floodgates of his mercy are lavished upon us.
Yeah. Father Michael Donovan, Father Daniel Bowen. Website is orderofmercy.org.
That's correct. Yeah.
Good. And I wondered, you have a pilgrimage in your future.
Oh, yes. Holy Family, we are getting a pilgrimage up and running to the shrines of France. And the inspiration for this pilgrimage is because this year is a jubilee year in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So it's been 350 years since the manifestation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to St. Mary Margaret Alacoque. Mm-hmm. So we thought, let's have a pilgrimage to the shrines of the Catholic shrines of France. So we'll be going to the Basilica of the Sacred Heart in France, where the Blessed Sacrament has been exposed for ongoing adoration since 1885. Nonstop adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the Basilica of the Sacred Heart in Paris. And then we'll be traveling to Paray-le-Monial, which is where the manifestation of the Sacred Heart took place, to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And then we'll be going to some other interesting places surrounding Paris. We'll be going to the sanctuary of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. We'll have 2 days at Our Lady of Lourdes. We'll also be going to the Great Basilica of St. Martin of Tours, who's the people of France are very devoted to St. Martin. We'll be going to the place that started in earnest the devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. So, and also to La Salette.
Oh, wow. That sounds outstanding.
So it's 12 days.
When is this happening?
It's taking place September 16th through the 27th.
Okay, and for more information?
For more information, you could go online and just type in St. Charles Catholic Pilgrimages.
Okay, good.
St. Charles Catholic Pilgrimages.
Mm-hmm. Good. Father Daniel also wanted to talk about vocations. You're the vocations director.
Yeah, that's right. For the United States of America, for the Mercedarian Friars.
For the entire country.
That's all. I think there's vocations in Hawaii. Oh, I've got to go.
Let's pray for vocations from Hawaii. Okay.
Whatever God wants. Yeah.
So what's coming up for you in terms of vocations? Are there come and sees planned, or how do people connect with you?
Oh, yeah. So come and sees are, again, I try not to make it too contrived, you know. So when can a man come and make a visit, you know? And if he can come on his own, I think it's better. When you come in a big group, I don't get to know everybody very well, you know. But if you come one-on-one, then you can get the best experience, and you're stepping into a slice of our life versus something where everything's kind of on the pretense. So, any men that are welcome, make a phone call. We have a conversation. You know, when would that work in your work schedule? A lot of the men are at work, or they're possibly still in school, college, you know. Best is to just reach out. Again, if they go to the website of our order, www.orderofmercy.org, mm-hmm. and click on the vocations tab. It's got my email and phone number and things there. They give a call, and if you're in the local area, it's maybe a little easier than somebody coming from the other side of the country. But, happy to, or have a conversation. You know, again, as I often will say with any man that I speak with who's discerning a vocation, possibly, you know, to the religious life and or priesthood, what can I do to help you, you know, to discover what God has in mind for you? Mm. You know, is it for our friars? Amen. That's great. If not, your time with us, or my conversations, or your visits help to further that along, that's what I want to do. Where does God want you? Mm-hmm. You know,
we're blessed to have you guys here in our diocese. Fairly new. You've been here how long now in Columbus?
2.5 years.
Okay. Serving at Holy Family Parish. What's parish life look like now at Holy Family?
Parish life is wonderful at Holy Family. We have a wonderful congregation. We're blessed in all sincerity because our people at Holy Family, they truly want the fullness of the faith. They come to Holy Family because they know that the faith will be taught to them in all its fullness. People today are looking for a reverent liturgy, and we try our best to make sure that the sacred liturgy is celebrated with reverence and dignity. So yeah, it's a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you just had people enter into the church,
yes,
right?
Yes, we had 3 baptisms and 8 confirmations at the Easter Vigil. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
And we also try to keep in mind that idea that we were just talking about, that, you know, our hearts have to be moved to compassion on behalf of the sufferings that we see. So we have a soup kitchen in our parish. We feed about maybe 250 to 300 people a day.
Wow.
From Monday to Friday.
A day.
Per day. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And yeah. Do you take volunteers to help with that?
Oh, yes, we do.
How mm-hmm. could they get in contact with you?
If they would just call Holy Family and ask to speak to Mary, our secretary, she mm-hmm. could help them out.
What's the greatest need for the soup kitchen now? Because I know the numbers have all gone up around the diocese. So what's your greatest need right now?
Our greatest need is ongoing donations so that we can provide the food, because food prices are just skyrocketing, you know, so that's what we need.
Talking about being moved to compassion, right? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, we could do that.
So, final words of inspiration for our friends that are listening?
I would just say keep the mystery of Easter alive, because we need to linger in this mystery. You know, it's interesting that our Lord Jesus, he continued to linger with the holy women and the apostles for 40 days. He came in and out of their lives in his risen body, and because they needed to be convinced that he was truly back from the dead. And that took place over a period of time. And so the church wants us to linger in this mystery. You know, we're celebrating the Easter octave right now. So what's the octave all about? A liturgical octave is the church's way of saying, we are suspending time. We're not moving from this mystery. We're staying in this mystery because we need it, you know? So let's just keep Easter alive.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Father Michael Donovan, Father Daniel Bowen, thanks for being with us here in the cafe this morning. It's always a pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Hope you come back. Are you going to come back?
We would love to.
Awesome. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Kelly Henderson and Joe Patrick. We're going to be talking about getting our young people involved in service. So looking forward to that conversation. Coming up this on the 13th, friends, I want to remind you about the Catholic Men's Ministry Leadership Summit with John Edwards. This will be taking place at St. Paul's in Westerville. Starts with an 8:30 Mass and goes right up until 2:30. John Edwards, of course, was here for this year's men's conference and will be inviting all men to become more involved in each other's lives, to fellowship with each other, as well as to build up our parish communities. So don't miss it. Details are online at catholicmensministry.com. Father Michael Donovan, Father Daniel Bowen, thanks again. Father Michael, can you leave us with a blessing?
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The floodgates of mercy.
That's right. Don't forget to really dive into Divine Mercy Sunday. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.